And so we need to keep that focus that it's all about Christ. Titus 2:13 says, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. So if as a believer, you're not looking and longing for the return of Jesus, who is our blessed hope, something is woefully wrong in your life, because we're to be looking for and longing for His return. Now, there were times that I was more excited about the Lord's return than others. For instance, if there was a test due and I hadn't studied, even so, come Lord Jesus, or come quickly Lord Jesus, help me. But it's as a believer, we ought to be looking forward the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the reason being is Paul wrote the church and he said, if we have hope in this life only, we're of all men most miserable. And he spends a great deal of time as he writes to the Corinthians saying, if Christ be not raised, and if not, and if this, and if that. And then at the conclusion of that, he says, but now is Christ risen. That it's something that we can count on. So Christmas celebrates the fulfillment of the blessed hope. On Christmas, our hope was born. For over 30 years, our hope lived out the fulfillment of the Old Testament prophecies. And a lot of times people say, well, I'm just always in the New Testament. Well, be careful. Because every scripture that Jesus ever quoted came from the Old Testament. And so on Good Friday, our hope was crucified. On Easter, or Resurrection Sunday, our hope arose over death, hell, and the grave victoriously. 40 days later, our hope ascended into heaven. On the day of Pentecost, our hope sent His Holy Spirit to indwell believers and to empower believers. And one day soon, our hope will return to rapture His saint away, His church away, His saints. So now the promise was made, and then it was delayed, if you will, and then fulfilled at His birth. Isaiah 7:14, that Old Testament passage that we often quote, it says, therefore the Lord Himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and you shall call His name Emmanuel, God with us. Verse 6 says, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon His shoulder, and His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. So we see that God's word is not temporal, it's eternal. I love it because it's a now book. You know it, it's not a history book, although it contains history. But it's not a science book, although it contains science. You know, if the scientists would have listened a long time ago, Columbus wouldn't have thought the world was flat, because the Bible says that the angels sat on the circle of the earth. They'd have read that, they'd have saved them a few dollars, and they'd have been a little bit further down the road. Well, notice our text. In verse 17, God in His desire to show us beyond a shadow of a doubt, convincingly, beyond a shadow of a doubt, desiring us to see the unchanging nature of His plan. And the reason I bring that out is there are people that think that God gave us the Ten Commandments, which He did, only there's a lot more than ten. And they said, well, since the Ten Commandments didn't work, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit got together and said, well, what do we do next? That's a lie from the pit of hell. God has always had his plan, and he has always had his purpose. And that's so important because we're living in a world that wants to change the plans and the purpose of God. And the world would really, even at this time of year, would like to turn the Lord Jesus Christ into the rainbow bread man, just to do some social things, social good works, and leave off what this is really all about. People coming to know the Lord Jesus Christ personally. Well, he wanted to show us convincingly, without a shadow of a doubt, desiring us to see the unchanging nature of his plan and his purpose. And he intervened, or mediated, if you will, with an oath. Listen, if God didn't have to do that. When God says it, that settles it. This little bumper sticker that says, God said it, I believe it, and that settles it, they got it all wrong. You could save a little sticker there. If God said it, that settles it, whether people believe it or whether they don't. Now, he gave us two unchangeable things, his promise and his oath. It means it's impossible for God to lie. It's impossible for God to be proved false, to deceive us. You might write that down, impossible. That those of us who have fled to him, that's what Paul writes here, those of us who have fled to him. Now, I think that's a picture there. I believe when you invite people to come to Christ, they ought not tarry. They ought not, well, let me see, they fled to him for refuge. I mean, he is our sanctuary. He is our refuge. His ear is not deaf that he cannot hear, nor his arm shortened that he cannot save. And they and we flee to him for refuge. Well, it's that those of us who are saved, in other words, that we might have indwelling strength greater than ourselves. You ever read or some of these stories about people having unusual strength at different times? In other words, maybe I think one of the most common is somebody working on underneath the car and the jack slips. And a little 110-pound lady comes and lifts up the car, and somebody's able to roll out. I mean, unbelievable strength with just a surge there. I have that when I get up in the morning. I mean, I'm laying there, and I don't think I can, and then all of a sudden, whew, I got it. Joan says breakfast ready, and that kind of did it. But to have this indwelling strength and to have this strong encouragement. You know, the devil's the accuser of the brethren. And he will whip up on you in a real way. And yet, this indwelling of the Holy Spirit, he's a strong encourager. You can do it. You can do it. Well, to be able to grasp or to comprehend the hope that is appointed for us and set before us. But we don't always take advantage of what we've been given. Is that a fair statement? And I think it's both interesting and sad that we probably don't utilize 10% of what the Lord has given us that's available to us. Somebody said it was like dying and going to heaven and seeing all these presents on one side of heaven. Somebody said, what are all these presents for? And he said, that's answered prayer that nobody asked for. To realize what's available for us in Christ Jesus, appointed for us and set before us. A lot of times when I'm talking to people about accepting the Lord, I'll say, I want you to have this pen. I've bought it. I've paid for it. It's a really good pen. When would it be yours? And they say, well, when you gave it to me. No, I'm giving it to you now. When will it be yours? And finally we get, when I receive it, there you go. So this has been set before us. Salvation has been set before us. But we have to reach out and to receive. Well, Paul says we have this hope as a sure and steadfast anchor of our soul. In other words, it can't break down. An anchor to our soul. Now, to me, it speaks of security. You know, it reaches further and further into God's presence within the veil. That indwelling of the Holy Spirit, that sure and steadfast anchor of our soul. You remember the song, I think J.K. sang it one time. Maybe it was in his office and nobody was here to hear it, but you know that song, The Anchor Holds? Don't you just love that song? You know, if it was J.K. tonight, he'd be singing it, but I'm going to do y'all a favor. It's Christmas season and all. But when I read it, what it does to me, it says, the anchor holds though the ship is battered. The anchor holds though the sails are torn. I've fallen on my knees as I face the raging sea. The anchor holds in spite of the storm. And this one speaks to Neil and a couple of others, but I've been young, but I'm older now. For there has been beauty these eyes have seen. But it was in the night through the storms of my life. Oh, that's where God proved his love for me. The anchor holds, though the ship's been battered. The anchor holds, though the sails are torn. I've fallen on my knees as I face the raging sea. The anchor holds in spite of the storm. That's our hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm so thankful that my salvation is not based on my ability or my capability to hold on to him. It's based on him being able to hold on to me. Paul says, I know in whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. Well, don't you just love verse 20? Whether the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus, made and high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. He has gone before us. You'll not go through anything that God hasn't gone before you. He's gone before us. The psalmist David says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, for thou art with me. You see, he's gone as our forerunner. We need not fear death because he has conquered death. He overcame death, hell, and the grave that we might have life everlasting through faith in his name. He was the forerunner. We'll not go through anything that he hadn't gone through before for us. I love that song, "I Don't Have to Cross Jordan Alone." Jesus died for my sins to atone. And when the darkness I see, he'll be waiting for me. I don't have to cross Jordan alone. We've had several people go to be with the Lord in the last couple of days. Last one, Kyle Tollison. Some of you remember Katie and Travis as kids here, but he went to be with the Lord, and his daughter sang to him every day. And the song that she sang to her dad was one of his favorites, and mine also. "Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I'm see. But now I see." And that's about the time that David hits the lick on the guitar and starts singing, "My chains are gone. I've been set free." And for the believer in Christ Jesus, that's what death is. The chains that held me here, they're gone. I've gone on to be with the Lord. And to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Jesus, our high priest, he's our intercessor. You know, it's interesting to see God the Father as the judge and the Lord Jesus Christ as that witness and testimony, and we deserve to die. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We owe a debt that we can't pay, and he paid the debt that he didn't owe, because we needed someone to wash our sins away. And that's why we can sing that new song. That's why we have hope in Christ Jesus. You know, and it's a different kind of hope. We say, "I hope it rains." Well, here lately I've been saying, "I hope it doesn't rain," you know. And it's kind of a something that we really don't know the answer to. But that's not the same word for hope here. Jesus is our blessed hope. He's the tried stone. He's sure. He's the anchor of our soul. Do you know him tonight? If you don't, you can come to know him before you leave this place. That's the wonderful thing about it. People can come into this place lost, and they can leave this place saved. It's a wonderful thing. It's the best deal in town, to be honest with you. Somebody said, "Do you remember when old Butch was in sales?" Somebody said, "Yeah, he was in sales, but he still is. He's just got a better product, and the retirement's fantastic." So, tonight, weigh it out. Doesn't take you long. Jesus invites you to come. If you're not saved, you can be saved today. We'll be at the front, pray with you. If you're saved and you haven't been identified, you think about what happened tonight. What a glorious testimony that is. And then if you're saved and identified, and God is leading you here for a church home, we want you to know that you're welcome. Would you stand tonight as we pray? Lord, we thank you for your word. But Lord, we also thank you and praise you that you are our blessed hope. And Lord, we pray tonight, first for ourselves, that we would confess our sins and You've told us if we confess our sins that you're faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And Father, when we're right, then we can turn and pray for people all around us, next to us, in front of us, behind us. And Lord, pray, if they're struggling with a decision, let them let go and let you have your way. And there'll be somebody that'll walk with them. One thing about the country church, when you take a stand for the Lord, you don't have to stand alone. And so, Father, I pray that your Holy Spirit's got access to all of our hearts, because we ask it in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Tonight as we sing, God Speaks, Will You Come?
Just as I am,
grand old hymn,
without one,
but think about what we're saying. Just like I am.
For me,
Lord, I'm believing your word. I'm claiming your promise.
Land of God, I come. I come.
If God speaks, will you come on this
just
verse?
Just as I am and wait.
What he wants to do,
my soul,
if we'll let him.
Of one dark blood,
Lord, I'm believing.
Whose blood can cleanse each spot, O Lamb of God, I come.
God's people said,
amen.
Amen. Good to be in his house, right? Amen. You're still out on time. What were y'all worried about me being late, okay? You know what it is? They listen faster tonight. Sometimes if the sermon goes a little, it's because y'all are not listening fast enough.